I choose this topic today, and I do this typically on an annual basis. I did it over the weekend in my pathway class, so those of you who are in the class, you can have a double dose of it, which is always helpful, because the more we hear, the more we learn. And that's one of the reasons why I carried it forward to this Monday. One of the objections, or one of the major reasons why people are held back from prospecting. If you look at why we don't do enough prospecting, and I can tell you that no matter who I work with, no matter how long I've been involved in Manatech, the number one thing I see problematic on people, young associates, getting involved, saying they want to do it as a business, and they're going out and doing it as a business, when I get them on a DAT, a daily action tracker form, so I get accountability of what the actions are taking, it's always that first quadrant on that form, which is all about prospecting, where they're weak. I mean, it's inherently, I mean, people saying, oh, Mary Jo, I want to be a regional director in 2 months, and they give me their DAT back, and they show they've contacted one new person. One new person a week will not get you to regional director in 2 months. It just doesn't work that way. You've got to make a commitment to prospect, because prospecting is the number one activity involved in network marketing, and that's going out, getting out of your comfort zone, and talking to people. And so what's holding us back? Why shouldn't that front page of our DAT, our daily action tracker, why shouldn't it just be loaded with numbers? Why am I not talking to 10 or 20 new people a week? Well, one of the main reasons is that we come to prospecting with a sense of fear. And part of our fear is fear of rejection. Some people just don't want to get the no's, so they fear rejection. But that fear of rejection more comes from not... Stop. I'm going to put star 5 on so we can lose some of this chatter in the background. Okay, there we go. So what we have is we have this fear of rejection, but fear of rejection really comes more so in why you stand back and don't follow up on people, because that's really, when you first talk to somebody, you typically don't get rejection right out of the box. You just open that can of worms. But fear of rejection comes more so in what freezes people from follow-up. But the other big area of why we don't prospect, I'll tell you, and you guys need to recognize this, acknowledge it, and thus work with your downline, your new associates on overcoming that. And that is that we are afraid we won't know what to say in response to somebody's objection. So instead of getting patented responses down on each and every objection that can come up, we just live this life of fear, instead of becoming prepared to answer every one of those objections. You need to have boldness around them, and you need to know what to say. You need to be prepared when you go out there and prospect. If you have good answers to every objection that person can bring up, I'm going to suggest to you it's going to make you a what I call the Manatech maniac. You know, you're going to become a prospecting maniac, because now you have no fear. You know you can get out there and talk to anybody anytime, and no matter what they say as an objection, you're going to be able to respond. So critical for you to train and teach and get your people to understand how to respond to different objections. One of the first exercises I do with people is I have them sit down and write out, give me the top 3 objections that you come up against when you go out and prospect. So if you've been out in Manatech for 6 months to a year, what are those top 3 objections that you hear about that you tend to have a hard time with, and they seemingly keep coming up every time you're out there prospecting? And I can give you a couple minutes to do that on this call, but this is really a good exercise to go through for yourself. And some of you can write them down. It doesn't take 2 minutes. You can come up with them off the top of your head. And if you put them down on a piece of paper, now the second thing I want you to do is look at the objections you just wrote down on that piece of paper. Because what those objections are, typically, the objections that you keep seeing coming up time and time again that you're recalling that people throw in your face around Manatech, those objections are problems you have within your own belief system. So let's talk about one of them that's probably on most of your sheets. Most of you probably wrote down that products are too expensive or cost. I'm going to suggest to you, if that's one that you wrote down as one of the most frequent objections you get, I'm going to suggest to you that the reason you're getting that and it sticks in your head as a big issue for you is because you're finding it virtually impossible to overcome that objection with people. And the reason you can't overcome the objection is because somewhere in your conscious, subconscious, you hold that as an issue yourself. In other words, you still, in your belief system, believe these products are expensive. And as long as you carry that issue yourself internally, you are going to have a dastardly time trying to overcome it with somebody else, because you can't play this false game. You can't overcome an objection of expensive when you believe it yourself, because then you're lying to yourself. You're not being true to yourself. So it makes it virtually impossible for you to overcome the objection, and it stays out there and lingers as a major objection that keeps coming up for you because you're not able to overcome it. So really look at that, and I'm going to give you a suggestion. If cost is one of those issues for you that you keep coming up against, and I'm going to, again, look internally on yourself. You're going to find it. You look deep enough, you'll find it. But if that's truly one of the objections that you have and that keeps coming up for you, then what you need to do, here's a suggestion. Start dedicating 30 minutes a day to either plugging in the We Listen tape or, you know, there are 100 different, you know, places where you can find different testimonials, making sure you attend every meeting that's in your area and listen to those testimonials. Get on, we used to have the theater on Manitech website, just listening to live testimonials there, really spending your time around what results have been affected. Because many of you don't get the value of the products. It's not about the cost of the products. It's about the value of the products. What results are people getting from these products? And that will resolve any issue you have around being too expensive. So dedicate your time and energy around that and see what a difference it makes for you. Okay, so that's one way of overcoming that in your own belief system. But I'm going to, trust me, you've got to overcome that in your belief system before you're ever going to help somebody else overcome it. The second big issue that comes up typically in this area about objections that you get numerous times from prospects that you have a hard time with is network marketing. And the same thing applies there. There's so many of us out there that came into this business and we don't like network marketing. Somehow we feel there's a taint to it, or it's some kind of, you know, it's a cheap thing. Or for me personally, I'll give you my bet. I didn't even know what network marketing was when I got involved in it. I didn't do it for network marketing. I did it for myself to take supplements. I didn't do the business for the first year I was involved in it. I gave it to my dad, phenomenal results, and of course that led me to step into the mission. But when I found out it was network marketing, what that was all about, it was like, oh my gosh, here I had all these degrees, you know, I was a practicing lawyer, and I thought, oh my gosh, people, this is like, what a cheesy kind of business this is. You could have an eighth grade education and get involved in this business. You don't need somebody with my credentials. And so ego got involved, a little bit of arrogance there, and I kind of got caught up in this concept that just from my own experiences in life. And I had to, after 6 months doing the business, signing up one person. Do you like that, everybody? So you see, not all of us walk into the business totally proficient from day one. I was so frustrated, I just kind of said, what's holding me back? And I went to a class where this exact exercise took place. And they highlighted for me that my two objections, cost and network marketing, were truly objections I carried in my own head. And so I spent some time studying network marketing. I went out and I got a book, The New Professionals. I read a bunch of materials, Wall Street Journal information, all this stuff. And I totally convinced myself that network marketing is the most phenomenal economical mechanism for distribution there is on the face of the earth. And so today, it never comes up as an issue. And the reason it's not an issue for me is because if anyone ever brought it up, it's so easy for me to get overcome it for them and put, you know, give them an answer that they can buy into, so it's not even an issue. But again, I had to overcome it in order for me to help other people overcome it. So look at your issues like that and see how many you have, and then work on yourself first. Is that clear? Picture perfect clear. Work on yourself first, because if you carry an objection, you're never going to be effective in overcoming it for other people. Why do we want to be prepared when we get out there in the field? There are three reasons. Number one, it builds confidence. And that's what I'm talking about when I say you'll become a prospecting maniac. If you're prepared, you're going to have more confidence. Number two, it builds credibility. So when people ask questions or throw objections in your face, you're going to have an immediate response. You're not going to sit there and waffle and waver. You know, and I hear people do that. Is this network marketing? And people go, well, not really. It's really, Manitech's really research and development company. And I just go, where do I throw up next? Because it is network marketing. I mean, when they get their pack in the mail and they see it's network marketing and you've told them it's not, I suggest you're going to have a big problem around credibility. So, again, you want to be able to have credibility, so you want to have the boldness of being knowing how to respond to people when they say things that's going to add to your credibility and your knowledge level, okay? And then educate others. Because if you're going to get somebody off the paradigm where they're stuck on something, you want to bring some enlightenment into their minds. And you're going to see that when I start responding to some of these objections for you. You're going to see the kind of language I use, because my language has to do with how can I help educate the person, because they're stuck. And I'm just going to give them information to help move them forward. So our concept is be prepared so you can help move people forward and give them new information they may not be aware of. And that's what our job is to do, is education. All right. It's imperative you understand the true nature of objections before you start responding to them. First and foremost, most objections are more like little competition events. So when people start throwing objections at you, they're just trying to trip you up. Do you ever notice that when you're out there sharing? They'll throw little barbs at you, and they'll say certain things. And you've got to be able to recognize a true objection from just a kind of false objection. People use objections to buy time. So because they just don't want to make a decision, or they're these kind of people, and some of you can relate to this, that they're so fearful of making a mistake, they don't like to make decisions. So they use objections to buy time. You've got to be able to work through some of those so that you don't get caught up in their nonsense. Does that make some sense to you? Don't get caught up in their procrastination. So I'll give you an example of one. You have a great meeting. The person gets done. She's so excited. She starts sharing. You start sharing. Okay, let's talk about the family. And she goes, well, you know what? I really need to talk to my husband about it. Now, that has a tendency to be put off. I'm going to put it off. So when people say, I really need to talk to my husband, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is I go, great, when can I support you in doing that? Because clearly you can't make the kind of presentation I did tonight, and you probably won't be able to answer a lot of his questions if he gets to any sophisticated level, so I'd love to participate in that with you. So when can we do that? And the person will look at you. Now, if it's just a put-off objection, they're going to immediately back down, and they're going to go, well, you know, that probably really isn't even necessary. And I'm going to suggest to you that happens to me a ton. But if it really is a meaningful objection, if it really is something that's going to, something they need to worry about and they have to take part in, then you're showing how much you care that you're going to be a part of their life and their process of doing that. Because you will be much more effective presenting it to her husband than she's going to be anyway. So make yourself available to do that. So again, and look out for competition. Some people just challenge you. I have people ask me crazy questions. They'll ask me things like, well, what's the makeup of the sugars in this sack, in this product? I mean, how do I know what's in? And I go, you know, that's a great question. I don't have that information. It's proprietary, but I can get you a product assay if you'd like to have that. And I answer that, and they look at me and go, no, that's okay. Now, when they ask you a question about something and then they don't care about the answer, that's clearly, again, a competition event. They're just trying to find out how much you know. They're like taking a little pin and pricking it in you, saying, ooh, maybe I can cause a leakage over here. Or maybe they won't be confident about this. So they're just testing your level of knowledge and whether you really have the information needed to be suggesting these supplements are great. So look out for those things, too. You're going to find a lot of that. Objections to network marketing usually are pat boilerplate responses. You know, people just love to throw that in your face because that's a mechanism that allows them to escape from making a decision. So they'll say, I have to use the right twang in my voice too. Is this network marketing? You know, we hear that. Okay, so, and understand that a lot of that, and we'll show how to respond to that, but it tends to be just boilerplate type responses. People aren't really totally against network marketing. They've had maybe a bad experience in it, but they just use that, again, as a mechanism to avoid making a decision. You want to become an objection fanatic in this business. You want to find every possible objection that you can in a person's life. Because those of you who would like to just sign up the people who want to take it immediately and that's it, and you sign them up and you're done, you know, they have no objections, no kind of communication back to you, you're going to end up, that person's going to become a zero on your downline. Because there's a reality in the world that's called once an objection, always an objection, or another way of putting it is a man who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So if there's an objection that he's carrying, and some people don't want to disclose them to you because they might think they're stupid. Don't you ever, when you're in a training or something, I do this all the time. I'll have people from the audience. I'll say, okay, anyone have any questions? And inevitably, somebody raises their hand and said, well, this is probably a stupid question. And I just start laughing because I go, there is no such thing as a stupid question. If it's a question that you have, it is not stupid. It needs to be answered to move you forward. So there's no stupidity around that. And just the fact that you're going to ask it shows me a lot of boldness. But a lot of people, same thing with objections. They don't give you their objections because they feel like maybe they'd sound stupid. So it's more important for them to look good than for them to get their objection resolved. Do you get this? Programs running their life? My program is I need to look good. Yeah, I don't think that, I don't like this glycobiology, and I think it's kind of phony because of this and this, but my program of I need to look good is preventing me from putting that out there because maybe it'll be looked at as a stupid objection. But that is so, that's why we need to really look at people and say, now, are there any other issues you have? Is there anything that you don't feel comfortable with that I've said or that you've heard tonight? You want to ask those questions to people. Pursue any possible objection they might have. Most of you want to run the opposite direction, but I'm going to tell you, become an objection fanatic. Because if you can overcome their objections, and once you get the confidence that you can respond to them all, that is what's going to seal the deal for you. You're going to be able to open their hearts, find out what's bothering them, get to the heart of the matter, try to solve that solution for them and put a solution in place and resolution in place, and that's what's going to free them up to make a great decision to move forward on their health and then feel so much more confident that they made a great decision because they resolved any issues that they have. So again, become an objection fanatic. The three worst things you can do to an objection is, number one, if somebody gives you an objection and you answer with nonsense because you don't know the answer, oh my goodness. That is, you throw your credibility right out the window. So if somebody says something to you, and I think I brought one up earlier in the call today, I said, you know, what is the breakdown of the 8 different saccharides in Ambertose? Now, somebody asked me that question one time, and I thought it was a great question. And that's, I respond, hey, great question. I don't know the answer to that. You have to come from truth. Every moment of your life, it's about coming, being honest, because you went at the core of your relationship with that person, not just today in a prospecting mode, but tomorrow as an associate, a week from now, 10 weeks from now, when that person's a business builder. You want to be so committed to truth and honesty that they get it. They get that that's the integrity of the person they're working with, and those are the kind of people they're going to want to associate with. So always be honest. Don't ever feel that pressure to just answer because you're supposed to be the expert. Oh, come on. We can't be total experts in everything. We can just do the best we can with the knowledge we have. But that means we don't misrepresent, we don't lie, we don't make misstatements. We try to be as clear and as truthful as possible in everything that comes out of our mouth. So number one, don't answer with nonsense when you don't know the answer. Number two, don't ever tell a prospect that they're crazy or what a stupid, you know, well, that's pretty stupid. You know, don't ever insult your prospect because then you'll for sure to lose them. So make sure that your commentary in response to an objection is respectful. And that's why I tend to like to say, hey, that's a good question. You know, to give them, honor their question. That's a great question, you know, and then go from there. Honor them in their questions. And then the third worst thing to do is to tell them, you know, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that, but I'll give you a call back tomorrow. Let me do some research, and I'm sure my, you know, my team member will know, and I'll give you a call back tomorrow. And then not call them back because you didn't find out the answer, because you didn't follow through on your commitment. So you didn't follow through on the commitment to find out, and you further didn't follow through on the commitment to call them back. Those are horrific things to do. Again, it goes right to the heart of your own integrity. So make sure that if you make a commitment with somebody that you follow through with it. All right, so that's mostly about what we do with objections. And remember, too, and keep in mind that one of our number one fears in this world is fear of change. And if you're operating from a fear of change, and that's what a lot of people are who you've approached, they're looking at your presenting glycobiology as asking them to change. Because now they're being asked to take some supplementation if they've never taken it before, or displace other supplements that they've been taking with the ones you're offering. So you're asking somebody to change. So inherently, you're going to get fear from coming from the other side, because most people have a fear around change. So be prepared for that. Acknowledge that that's in existence. Instead of being resistant to it, be ready and willing to understand that that's a lot of what's coming back from a person when they start viewing objections. Okay, now let's jump in and talk about mechanisms to overcome objections. There's a lot of different mechanisms out there, and I'm going to go through some of them, and then I'm just going to start running through that 18 most common objection sheet that you have attached to your outline today. And let me give you some history on those 18 common objections. I trained this pathway class, and I had a predecessor course to that where we would go over objections and just do, like, you know, almost role-playing around objections and responding to them. And over the years, over a couple of years, I kept all the data on the ones that came out of the people I was training in my class. And these ones that are listed on your last page of the outline are ones that came up most frequently. So that's why I kind of call them the 18 most common objections today. Because clearly there are millions of objections somebody can come up with, you know, and some of them you guys can really laugh at. You've heard them just like I have. They get to be kind of silly sometimes. People get so far out there with things they want to communicate to you. But I'm just going to deal with most common, because if you can get these down, you're going to just be, you know, empowered immensely to go out there and really make a difference in people's lives. So let's talk about mechanisms. Okay, number one, here's a mechanism you can use. It's called feel, felt, found, and a lot of you are familiar with that. You've heard it before. It goes something like this. If somebody says to you, oh, Mary Jo, these products are just too expensive, the first thing you do is you go, I know exactly how you feel. So immediately, you're giving validation to their feelings. And that makes the person feel at ease instead of being defensive with them and saying, boy, how can you say they're expensive? Rah, 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 and get, you know, immediately you're putting them at ease. You're giving validation to their feeling. The next step is to say, because I felt the same way. When I was approached with glyconutritionals, I thought that these things were extremely expensive, and I was a practicing lawyer. I kept saying, how could somebody ever want to spend $100 a month, $1,300 a year on taking supplements? That didn't make any sense to me. Why? Because it was outside my current paradigm and how I was living. So that's where I was, and I felt the same way you did. But do you know what? That after I started my family on these products and we all started taking them, I found that my kids weren't staying home from school as much as they had been. My co-pays basically disappeared because we weren't visiting doctors like we'd been doing. And in reality, I was saving a ton of money, even though it looked like it was expensive, because of all the savings I got from being able to be at work every day, not taking kids home from school, and all the co-pays and all the costs of that. Not to even talk about that intangible cost that we don't look at dollars and cents, which is, what is the value of just having a lot of energy and feeling great all the time? Wow. So do you see what you've done is you've taken them, I understand exactly how you feel, giving validity. I felt the same way. Wow, now you're saying, huh, guess what? You and I feel the same way. Now there's camaraderie because you're both in the same boat together. So they really love that. And then all you're doing is you're taking, and you know what I found? You're walking them down the pathway that you went through to resolve that objection for you, which is a similar path that they could experience also. And, you know, once they're disarmed, they're going to be able to easily follow the story that you tell them and see where it could make a huge difference in their lives. And that's what Feel, Felt, Found is. You can use it for almost every objection that's out there. Just play with it. You can, you know, work around it. There are a lot of different, if you have problems with it, you can even send me an email. Say, Mary Jo, how would you do it around here? I would be more than happy to respond to you. Because it's important that you get that down. It's a good technique to use and helpful in many instances. Note also that some objections are self-created. So if you're getting in your business the concept of this is snake oil, if people are saying that to you and you hear that frequently, I'm going to suggest to you that's your fault, because look at what you're presenting. If you're out there giving people a laundry list of 25 different diseases that these products help with, you understand that because you get cellular communication and you've heard the testimonials and you've been exposed, so you get it. But you're dealing with somebody brand new, never exposed to this before, and they live in a different paradigm. They're come from one drug, one disease. And all of a sudden you give them a whole list of diseases, and they're going to look at you and go, are you telling me this stuff cures all these diseases? And that's the kind of language they use. And they'll be blown away. You just lost your 100% of your credibility. Not because you may have been wrong, but because you're taking somebody and trying to convert their paradigm in such a dramatic way, it's not working. You can't get somebody to make that shift without having the knowledge that you have. So don't come from an assumption they understand it as clearly as you do. So I tell people, stay away from the laundry lists of disease conditions, because the only one that's really important to that prospect is the one they have. So they don't care about Greg Letourneau if they have asthma, because Greg didn't have asthma. So don't get into our big, fat, great stories out there, all the ones you have. And, you know, I have so many today I could stay on the phone for, you know, probably 10 weeks straight just talking about different experiences I've had with different people with these glyconutrients. But the problem is that that's not important to that person. So isolate in your communication, in your presentation style. Double check where is this leakage coming, where you feel so compelled that you have to go and make this laundry list of all these diseases. Change that presentation style and you will stop getting snake oil as the response back. If you do get it back, of course we can go, my favorite response, if there is a snake oil response that comes out from somewhere, someplace, is always about, no, this is not about these products curing or healing anything. Let's go back to understanding what's happening here. That we truly believe you put the proper nutrition in the body, you solve the body's deficiencies, and the body is now empowered to do its best job of healing itself. So it's not allopathic, it's not one drug, one disease, it's not naturopathic. I don't give you six, herbals to handle one disease and 12 other ones for another one, because we truly believe that if you add the right nutrition in proper diet, you add that to the body, to relieve it of deficiencies, the body's got innate capability of its own healing. And that's what we're tapping into. Get it? So that's another way to respond. So you take it away from the concept that it's one drug, one disease. Okay, objections that you turn around into reasons why they should proceed. These are fun, so let's talk about those. There's some objections out there that the minute somebody raises them with you, you should use it, the objection, to be the reason that they need to be involved. So here's one for you from a health perspective. Nothing works, Mary Jo. I've done so many things. I've tried everything under the sun, and I've just totally lost hope. When somebody says that to me, I love to say, that's exactly why I want you to look at this, because it's absolutely so unique from anything else you've ever done before. It's a breakthrough technology. Now, MIT is calling it something that's going to change the world. This isn't another Me Too vitamin supplement, Me Too nutritional supplement. This is something so unique that because nothing has ever worked for you is the exact reason you need to look at this. You get it? You're just flipping. You're taking their reason not to do it to be a reason to do it. And the uniqueness of our products is what's so incredible. That whole breakthrough technology, the whole MIT statement, use that in your responses to help convert their objection to exactly the reason. When you're dealing with somebody from a business perspective, if you start doing a business presentation and they look at all this stuff and they go, you know what, Mary Jo, I'm just so busy, I just don't have time to do this. And I go, do you get that? That's the exact reason why you need to look at this? Because let me ask you a simple question. When in the next 5-10 years of your life do you think you're going to have any free time? And they'll roll their eyes and they'll look at you and go, that's a great point. Right now, the track I'm on, I don't see any future where I'm going to have free time. And then I jump in and say, that's why this is such an incredible alternative for you. Because here you can build residual income, you can get yourself in a place of financial freedom and time freedom, where you're going to have time to take a month off to go on a trip with your family, or take your kids to school every day and pick them up after school. Whatever that time freedom looks like to you, draw a picture of that, and that's what this opportunity presents for you. You don't have that in corporate America, but you sure as heck have it being an entrepreneur in this business. So again, change their not enough time to being the exact reason why they should look at it. Okay, objections that are mostly mechanisms to put you off. We talked about those earlier today. One of them is I need to talk to my spouse. So I go right away, great, where is she? Let's go. When do you want me to support you in that? Because clearly I'm in a better position to be answering some of their objections or questions because of my history with the products. Okay, so that usually, if it is an objection just to put you off, that'll resolve it right away because then they'll dismiss it. The other one that I hear so often, too, is somebody will say to me when I make a presentation or at the end of a meeting, and they'll go, Mary Jo, I'm so excited about it, but I really need to pray about it. And I go, great, and I get on my knee. And I go, why don't we pray together right now? Let's just pray together. And they kind of look at me like I'm shocked. That wasn't quite what they might have imagined. But if it's truly something they wanted to do about it, they're going to be open and ready to pray with you. And we should step into that and help support people. If they're looking for some guidance, so why don't we be a part of that process for them and support them in that? And so, again, but if it's something that's just to put you off, that they really just, they were just afraid of making a decision, the fear of decision or making a mistake, because that runs so many people's lives, that's a huge program out there. If that's what's going on, you're going to find out very quickly, because all of a sudden they won't need to pray about it. They'll just decide to move forward. So again, look out for those kind of mechanisms that are just put-off mechanisms. Step into your strength and your beingness to support them in those mechanisms. Don't say, okay, great, you know, call me next week, or, you know, you guys, we lose so many people because we don't catch them at the moment that they really are emotionally involved, and that's the most important time to close somebody. That's why Niall Pratt goes out there, and he's doing a meeting in 2 weeks in Arizona, and on his, you know, he tells people, he says, I want every single person to bring at least one prospect because we sign up 80 to 90% of them that night. That's why, because he is such an advocate, as I am, to getting immediate responses. Immediate. You catch them in their emotional state. They just heard about it. They're emotionally excited about it. That's when you get them signed up. They get started on the products. You care about them, love on them, and they see results. And then they're ecstatic about it. If you let them go for a week, you're going to lose them. Because then the little voices come in, and they start talking themselves out of it. My goodness, we all have those crazy little voices. Some of you, they've been holding you back all your life. It's time to really get rid of them. And there's a great book out there. I think we've talked about this on the call before. What to Say to Yourself When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmstetter. It's a great book. So you can start reprogramming those little voices in your brain. But again, we don't want to lose people because we fall into their traps, their put-off mechanisms. Don't fall into that trap. And then some of the other objections that come in here, let me go over some of them. I'm going to take off some of the top five objections that come off the list, and then if we have time left, we'll go over more. One is this a pyramid scheme? And my first response to the words, is this a pyramid scheme? The first thing you should say is, what do you mean by pyramid scheme? Because the word pyramid scheme means something different to everybody. And it's such a generic term that it can mean many different things. So I want to get clarity. Don't try to respond to an objection if you don't have clarity what they're saying. So if I say, what do you mean by pyramid scheme? If the person responds like this and says, well, you know, Mary Jo, one of those things where the guy at the top always makes the most money and it trickles down and the guy at the bottom makes the least. And I look at him and I said, you mean like General Motors, IBM, Microsoft, Intel, AT&T, all of corporate America? The federal government, the educational system, I just go, and they look at me and they go, oh, and they start laughing because they realize that that is corporate America. I mean, that's how we're structured. And when I get done with my laundry list and them laughing about it, they're kind of getting a cracking a smile, then I go, it's absolutely not like that. Because Manatech is a type of operation business that you can make a lot more money than the people who are upline from you. In fact, I'm doing that today. There are people in my downline that are making tons more money than people in between Mary Jo and them. And it just depends on choosing to do the business, how you structure your downline, how quickly you grow, what kind of business builders you have underneath you. All those things can make a huge, how balanced you are, can make a huge difference in what your income is. So it's not about where you are in the depth of an organization that dictates how much income you make. So clearly we don't fit in that pyramid scheme that you've just drawn. Okay, and sometimes that resolves it, then they're done. Another response can be when you say, well, what do you mean by pyramid scheme? Then they come back and they go, well, you know, is this that, you know, network marketing? When somebody asks you that question, here's how I suggest you respond. Absolutely. I want you to come back to them with a response of total boldness, because how you respond is going to so much dictate their reaction. If you get wishy and waffly, they're going to go off on you like no tomorrow. But if you're so bold, you go, absolutely. And if it weren't network marketing, I wouldn't be a part of it. And the reason for that is that when I first got involved, I researched network marketing. And I found that clearly network marketing is the most efficient model for product distribution on the face of the earth. And that's really true. Does everybody on this call get that? It's the most efficient model for product distribution on the face of the earth. And the reason for that is that never is any compensation paid out until a product is sold, whether it's a pack or it's a product order. Show me in the compensation plan where there's any income paid out unless there's a pack sold or there's a product sold. Those are the only, and both in the pack is nothing more than products. So truly, you have a system. I tell people when they ask me that question, I also tell them, I go, we are not an entity that puts millions of dollars behind a Super Bowl Sunday advertisement merely to line the pockets of CBS executives. That's not, and a wish and a whim that somebody's going to buy our product because they saw our ad on Super Bowl Sunday. Manatech pays 100% of the marketing dollars out to who? you and me, because we're the ones that are doing the work. And I don't find anything objectionable about that. And I also try to tell them, the other thing I usually add on that response is, the other thing I love so much about network marketing, which is really truly my heart and why I love it so much, is because you never have to think of yourself. I spent 20 years in corporate America, and my entire life it was about me, climbing a corporate ladder, climbing a law firm ladder, you know, making more money, being better at what I did, all this kind of stuff. And it was all about me, focused on me. In network marketing, you don't focus at all on you. If you want to be effective at this business, you spend all your time focusing on who? Your downline people. You focus on your business builders that you've brought along. You dedicate time and energy and effort to support them to be the best they can be. And you don't have to worry about you, because it all rolls up to the top. You'll be compensated in a huge way if you just support the people underneath you. And it's a beautiful thing. It's an absolute win-win scenario. Okay, so that's how you respond to network marketing. And I'm going to tell you, your response dictates their emotionalism around that issue. So start stepping into being bold about it and really going out there explaining its most efficient system in product distribution. And the beauty of it is getting yourself out of the way and really supporting people in a huge way. Okay, so next one, too expensive. Oh, my goodness, we all hear that. And we went through feel, felt, found, so you got that. That was one of the experiences we went through on the call. So, you know, that's one way of responding to too expensive. Another way that I like to respond is when somebody says, oh, my gosh, these are really expensive, Mary Jo. I said, compared to what? It's a great question. Compared to what? Put the question back on the person and ask them, what are they comparing it to? Is it expensive compared to what? So you're really making them think. You want people to think about what they say. The statements they make, sometimes people knee-jerk statements, and they need to think about what they're saying. The other question I like to ask when they say, oh, yeah, this is pretty expensive, I go, well, could you explain to me one thing then? What value do you put on your health? Another great question. So let them think about it. If the person truly doesn't put any value on their health, then why are we trying to market supplements to them in the first place? I mean, if you don't value it, it's kind of gets in the concept. How many of you know people, you go, Mary Jo, I care more about their health than they do. Well, that's not a very good place to be, because we care more about they do. That's going to be a problem. We need to find people who really have a concern about their health and put some value on it, and that's why they're going to step forward and start on the product, because they value their health. So those are great questions to ask, and let them start responding to it so you can go forward with that. Another good way to answer about expensive, so now I've given you three mechanisms, here's a fourth one. You can say, well, let me just talk to you about that. You know, we have these cars that all of us own, and every 3 months we take them in for an oil change, and we get the tires fixed, and we get the radiator flushed, and we get the air filters changed, and we put premium gas in them, and we wash them from time to time, and we take such incredible care of these automobiles, and yet we don't want to take preventive action and to take care of our human body. And I ask that question, and they go, yeah, I see that. And they go, yeah. Then my next question is, how many cars can you have in your lifetime? And people look at me and go, you know, as many as I want. And I go, yeah, right. And how many bodies are you going to get in your lifetime? And they go, oh, I get it. And so, yeah, I only get one body, but you're more importantly putting premium gas in that gas tank and eating Cheetos, Doritos, and Banditos for your human body. There's no sense between that activity. It doesn't make any sense at all. So it's time to respect your body, in fact, a lot more than you respect any silly car. Okay, so too expensive. So you have many mechanisms out there, and you can come up with your own. Some of you already have great ones, but I just gave you, four different ones that you could be using in responding to that too expensive. But be bold about it. Come after it. Don't attack the person. Just, you know, asking a simple question, well, could you explain to me what value do you put on your health? So they start talking to you and communicating to you about substantive things. What is the value you give your health? Okay, that's my fave, I really must say, because I like to get into philosophical issues with them about where they are in life, because that opens up the can of worms of why aren't you more committed to your health? And maybe, most of them conclude that it's time to get more committed to their health, because they see the ludicrousy of what they've been, how they've been living, when you start asking those kind of questions. Okay, doctor comes first. I won't do anything that he won't tell me about. Oh, my goodness, don't we hear that a lot? Okay, response to that. First of all, don't tell them they're stupid. Again, we don't want to go in that direction. But what I do with people is say, well, I've got to run up by my doctor because I'm not going to do anything my doctor doesn't tell me about. One way you can respond is, and how is that supporting you? Or how is that working for you? Because if they showed up at a meeting about nutritional supplements, obviously something's not working. So you can just say, and how has that supported you? So that's a good question to ask. Another way of responding to the doctor thing is, which I love to do, is I love to make sure they understand. I go, great, I'm not telling you not great. I'm not telling you not to follow your doctor's advice. But let me make sure you understand what you're doing when you're asking him advice about glyconutritionals. Number one, doctors aren't educated about nutrition. At most, they take maybe a half semester in their entire medical school career. So you have a man who's trained in surgery and in drug therapy, and you're going to ask him about nutrition? Most of them won't even be able to tell you why you should take vitamin C, and that's been around since 1934. So I'm just suggesting to you that go to your doctor with it, but be prepared to have a similar response if you would ask your auto mechanic to come over and tune your piano. So make sure they really get that connection, that they're asking somebody totally unqualified. Don't call them that, but you can do the same thing with other language. Be careful with your language not to insult them or insult their doctor. Just be honest with them so they get the picture. This is not about their doctor. It's about them being empowered and responsible for being in charge of their own diet and their own, you know, health. Okay? So there you go. Responses to about doctors. And some people you'll get and some people you won't. If somebody comes back and says, my doctor says da-da-da-da, then you're in that situation. I don't put up with doctors who tell people not to take the supplements anymore. It's just my attitude. I send them a legal letter and I kind of get a little threatening about, you know, that here's the support that shows these are necessary for the human body in order for the body to function. I hold you personally responsible for my, you know, friend's life, because you've told her not to take something that's totally necessary in order to support the functions of the human body, as now being taught in every medical school across the country. And that's okay. I just send them a nice little cute letter in my legal stationery, and that's what they get. Because I'm sick and tired of doctors telling my people not to take it. Some doctors say, hey, I don't see anything wrong with it. And I don't expect doctors to research, fully research this, because they're so busy. I would love it if they did, and if they were really true to their, you know, Hippocratic oaths and their commitment to health, they would do that. But there's so many supplements out there, they're not. It's unreasonable to expect a doctor to research everything that comes along. They're just not. They don't have the time to do it. But if they want to make the statement, I don't see anything that's going to hurt you in it, that's fine. But to tell somebody not to take it, that's a whole nother. To me, that's a. They have passed the line of no return. That's malpractice extraordinaire. Because you're telling somebody not to take something that's necessary for the function of their body. And they're teaching it in med schools. It's not about something that we're coming up with. It's in medical school literature being taught. Okay, I'm not a salesman if somebody says to you that because you're trying to get them to do the business. When people tell me they're not salesmen, I said, great, that's fine. You don't have to be a salesman. I said, you know, your view of salesman is somebody that's kind of hypey out there marketing stuff. I said, you know, salesman to me is somebody who's trying to get married and they're out there on a date. Everything you do, you're selling something as you're selling yourself when you're out on a date. This is about training and educating. That's truly what we're looking at here, is training and educating the world around that exciting science breakthrough technology of glycobiology. And that's what we're trying to do. So you can look at that. If you love to educate people, then you're going to love what you're doing here. So don't feel that not being a salesman is what's going to hold you back. Just get into the educational mode. I'm getting back on the line because I'm afraid I'm going to miss you. Do I have everybody there? We're getting towards the end. Okay, great. The next one, I already take vitamins. I just, when people ask that, make that response, I just say to them, I say, you know what? That's great that you're taking vitamins, but that's not what I'm talking about when I discuss glyconutritionals. Vitamins were a deficiency we acknowledged back in the 1930s that existed, but that's 70, 80 years ago. Today, we have new acknowledgments about other nutritional deficiencies that we've created because of the deficiencies in our foodstuffs, and one of those categories are glyconutrients. So yes, vitamins are necessary. This is not in the vitamin category. So go back to educating them about this isn't a vitamin. This is a specific nutritional deficiency that is desperately needed in our body about cell-to-cell communication. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When people say nothing works, I've lost hope, and I say that's the exact reason why you want to get involved in that, because it's not like anything else out there. This is a breakthrough technology that MIT is calling something that's going to totally change the world. It has to do with how the cells in our body communicate, a basic function that unless we get our cells communicating, we can't have any expectation of that body to truly heal itself. So that's why it's so critical for our human body to get those tools to help those cells to communicate. Okay, does that help? Sure, yeah. Yeah, good morning. I guess I didn't say that. Why haven't I heard about it before? Oh, a lot of people say that. And that's part of the objection that can come out in because of your presentation. That's why I love, in my presentations I give to people, I call it a new breakthrough technology. If you use new, because it still is new. It's new because, you know, it's not something, or every time we come across it, MIT just called it 2 years ago a technology that's going to totally change the world. So it's still a new thing. It's on the cusp of medical research today. But one of the reasons is I use new a lot in my presentation. If even using new in your presentation a lot, people ask the question, well, why haven't I heard about it? I go into, because it's not a standard type drug therapy that's advertised on television 24/7. Manatech has chosen direct sales, so their entire marketing budget is paid to people like you and me. We go out and it's grassroots is what's happening out there. They've been on CNN, they've had a lot of exposure in different magazines and health magazines, but it's not something that's a common word because it doesn't end up on radio or television as frequently as we would love to see it happen. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, there you go. Sure. When it's a real put off, what do you, like, give me an example. Well, okay, good question. Usually if you hit upon an objection, like I need to pray about it, and you go, great, let's get on, I'd be more than happy to pray with you right now, and you get on your knee. If it's a put-off, they're going to look at you and they're going to be, in effect, caught in the put-off. Well, what happens is they feel so embarrassed, they typically, the ball's in their court, they're either going to get on their knee and pray with you, or they're going to go, well, you know what, Mary Jo, I really feel so confident in what I heard tonight. Let's just move forward. I really think God brought me to this meeting, and that's why I'm here in the first place. And they'll sign up. You get it? Because they're in a level of discomfort because you've caught them on their put-off, and so they have to move forward. They have to make a decision. All I'm doing is I'm kind of forcing their hand to make a decision because it's not up to me what I say next. It's really what's going to come out of their mouth next. So it's just, yeah, and you want a copy of my letter I send to docs to beat up on them? Sure, we can send that out. We can handle that. Yeah. Now, again, it's a lawyer's letter, but I'm going to tell you, you don't need legal stationery to do it. In fact, it was so cute. I was training this, I think, in San Antonio or somewhere in the last few months in one of my trainings, and I said, you know what you could do? Just put at the bottom. Use your stationery, send it to the doctor, and at the bottom put CC and put attorney Mary Jo Hilliker. You see how much fun that is? So they know you're copying an attorney. They have no idea who I am, and I am an attorney, so I don't mind you using that, okay? Is using, right. Yeah, there you go. No, I don't. What do you mean? I don't. All I need is the doc. In terms of the letter, why? I don't need it. I don't need his telephone. All I need is his address. I just send him my letter, saying I hold him personally responsible for my friend's health because he has given her advice not to take a food that is absolutely required for the function of our human body. I have to know his name and address, but I can look that up. I mean, people can just tell me who they're visiting and where he's, you know, what town he's in, and I can find that on the internet. I mean, that's easy as pie. I don't need to get that from a prospect. Mm-hmm. You bet. I get. Yep. Uh huh. She did. Has anyone gotten the script yet? Okay, probably. Usually with Yahoo, it takes about an hour. We send it into them. They send back. Oh, we just got it. Yep. Just got it. Okay, there you go. There you go. Reactivation script. Yep, there you go. Okay. Uh huh. Yeah. Well, you know, the call today is now taped, and it's on the you can get it off of manatrain.net. You can listen to this call anytime you want. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do it on objections, to have it in the log of what we have on our Manatrain account. Forever. I'm locking these tapes in forever. I'm trying to build a whole, I mean, I only wish I would have started it. You know, I've been doing this call now since 2000. It's the longest running Manatech call out of anyone. I mean, every Monday morning, 10 o'clock for five and a half years. So I just wish I had some of my other ones taped, but we just started taping them about 3 months ago, and we're going to tape them forever, and we're going to put them on. They're listed by date and topic. So you have both and what? Half the list was gone. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I know they're doing some. I have a person that's working on my website right now, so it could be that's happening. Yeah, that could be what's going on. But anyway, it's there, and once we get enough of them posted on that site, not only are the calls, taped, and the outlines are also posted there, but in addition to that, as soon as we get about 50 to 100 of them, I'm going to start putting them in beginners, advanced self-development versus business strategies. So you're going to be able to, it's going to be indexed by category too. Okay. And Lydia said they're all up on the site right now. She just looked at it. So all of them are present on there. Got it. Okay.